Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three of Hump Day. And you know the deal. Hour number three, we jump on this thing we call the Grand Council, where we ping each other with questions, two of my brethren in talk radio, and we just see where the chips fall. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But in the end, we still love each other. So let me just call the roll and make sure that everybody is present. Do I have a quorum? From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, host of the Dale Jackson Show, up yonder in Huntsville. Also does a gig in Chattanooga. Oh, by the way, he works with Yellowhammer News. And oh, by the way, he's on the line right now. Dale Jackson, are you there?
You forgot about my TV show and how I'm the world's best father and worst husband.
So, I forgot that part. Stand at ease. All right, so turning my view southward. From FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. And, oh, by the way, works with Breitbart, Land Yap, and God knows what else. Jeff Poor, are you there?
Hey, brother.
You are, and we're very glad. All right, so I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
But all right, fellas, we just kick it off with Dale Jackson from a Clean Feed Connection in Tennessee. What you got?
All right, so we have a absolutely predictable story here. Fox News has obtained a second protective order that was filed against Marilyn Mann and the greatest American that ever lived, Kilmer Abrego Garcia. And in 2020, he had his wife accuse him of physical abuse, threatening her, and says she has a recording where he says, even if he kills her, nobody can do anything about him. Will they ever learn? Will the media ever learn that maybe the guy with gang tats on his knuckles, who's been deported, who everyone thought was in a gang, who was caught with people who were gangbangers, who was a human trafficker, all these things, that maybe that's not the guy you go to the mat for?
Well, you know, they constantly need this anti-hero, right? They constantly need the underdog guy. Like, for instance, another one just to add to the fray is the punk Colombian student Palestinian rabble-rouser Ahmed something got released today on a judge's order. And so apparently everybody who is anti-Trump, regardless of what they've done in life, it's okay. As long you can be the hero darling of the left. No, they're not going to let go. He's going to continue to be their cause celeb. They've dug their hole so deep on this, they have to stay with it. It's like Russia, Russia, Russia at this point. They can't let go of the story because if they do, they're wrong. And they can't ever say they're wrong. So, Jeff, weigh in. What do you think?
They'll have to let go eventually, I think. But it won't be like, oh, our bad. Sorry, we were wrong. You just will never hear his name again. And it won't be front page news anymore. You won't have U.S. senators going to El Salvador or whatever. So yeah, I think eventually the steam runs out on this one.
I think it's already running out, but they just don't know what to do with it. It's your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I think they'll just find the next guy. I mean, they'll find some other guy who's either friendly to terrorists or beats his wife or across the border illegally or human traffics. As long as Trump criticizes them, they'll be like, well, he must be a good guy. Then.
He must be our guy. Let's reel him in.
That's it.
All right, Jeff, your question. What do you got for the group?
I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer question, but first 100 days, I mean, grade it historically. How does it compare among other first president of a president's first 100 days?
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump on that. We've been talking about that here the last hour on my show, and we gave the audience even the question, and a bunch of them responded, what's your favorite up and what's your favorite down? Like, you want a good thing and a bad thing on the report here. What's the hot wash for the first 100 days? Generally speaking, the border is absolutely number one, and for me, number two is with regards to the Abrego Garcia guy, I do think that the Trump administration could have been a little tighter on their procedures, and they kind of have a self-inflicted wound here they're dealing with. But that being said, it's still not bad. I saw today where someone said this was the most consequential president. I think it's the Speaker of the House. Most consequential presidency in modern history, and I think that's the same whether you like him or don't. It's still consequential. I think he's absolutely knocking it out of the park. Dale.
Yeah, I overall, if I was to grade it, I would probably give him a B minus. I would say A for accomplishments, D for presentation, weighting heavily on the accomplishments being far more important than the presentation. C for tariffs, if you want to go there, because he can't make up his damn mind as to exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Some will call that art of the deal. Some will call that capitulation. I'm guessing it's a little bit of both. But B minus, that's where I'd put him. I don't like some of his picks, like Robert Kennedy Jr., but I don't care enough about it to be mad about it. So again, more about the accomplishments, and I think he's done a good job on the border, on the social issues we all care about, that real human beings care about, transgenderism, CRT, all that stuff. I think he's done pretty good. So B minus.
You know what? So the actual grade, I guess that was the question. I just totally missed that piece, but I'm going to go ahead and say A minus. So I'm at an A minus on this with a couple of caveats to what Dale just said. Jeff, your own question. How do you grade it?
I mean, B plus. I mean, you never know the outcome or end results in the first 100 days. I think he knew he had to go hard. He's kind of a lame duck president. He's not going to get another shot at this. This was going to be it. And you got to go for the gusto with every opportunity. And I think as well as he could, he's made the most of it. Some of the messaging may have helped on the margins. I always was underwhelmed by the messaging on the tariffs and just really explaining things. You're not going to necessarily win the media over, but you can court public opinion a little bit better. The only thing I think the first 100 days that maybe, the economy contracting at the very, very end, probably not great for that. But he did it. He executed it in a way that was better than expected.
All right. Fair enough. Quick question here. We got about 2.5 minutes for the break. So Tommy Tuberville, largely expected to be announcing a run for governor later this month, probably at the very end of the month, to coincide with the day that Alabama law allows you to begin raising money. That being said, story out right now that he's actually been claiming homestead exemption on his house in Auburn now since 2018, which means that's his home of record. Are we through with this story? Is it going away? Did they play their cards too soon on this one? Are we done with the whole idea of he's a Florida governor or a Florida senator? Dale.
If these were their cards, when they fanned them out, you had a ripped card, a card from an Uno deck, the instructions, and it was just a broken, and then a 2 and a 3. You had nothing here. You were never going to be able to use this to do anything. He is invulnerable on this issue. It was never going to work. It was time to move on a long time ago from this. If he wants to be governor, he's going to be governor. Let's decide what else to do next.
Jeff, what do you think, man?
No, I think you're right. Well, Dale's right. I would say this, though. I think they had to play the best hand they had. The only way you're going to beat Tuberville is try to kill it in the womb and try to end it before it starts, because you're not going to beat it later. This is not going to come out and end his bid for governor. So try to scare him off. Try to bluff him a little bit, and maybe that would work. And it was – if it didn't work with Jeff Sessions, if it didn't work with Bradley Byrne, it wasn't going to work here, but that's what they had to do. They did what they had to do. I tell you what was curious to me, that story that you referenced, Senator, Alabama Daily News of all places. I would not have thought that's where it would have been.
Yeah, that's well, yeah. Sometimes referred to as state-funded media, but yeah.
Who would say such a thing?
I don't know. Some guy. All right, fellas, there you go. That's round one. Round one, Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And by the way, don't forget, DeKalb MD, Healthcare Simplified, is the sponsor weekly of the Grand Council, and I'll tell you more about them in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, going back to round number two with the Grand Council. First question, second round. Dale Jackson, what you got?
This is from 1819 News.
1819 News?
I know. Fairhope, Alabama, their library situation is still ongoing. I thought it was pretty interesting. Someone stood up at the city council meeting and said, hey, how many of you people want to remove these books from the children's section and move them over to the adult section? And about half the people raised their hands. And then the guy said, hey, how many of you are sick freaks that want to leave them where kids can see them? And nobody raised their hand. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I think he made a pretty good point. He's like, what are you people here yelling about? Like, well, you just don't want any change anywhere? And well, obviously they didn't want to admit that they were these types of books because, like I said, they're sick freaks. But I think Fairhope is the canary in the coal mine, and I hope they kill it.
That is pretty hilarious. And I'll be honest with you, I still am taken aback by the fact that library boards have become the center of the woke universe. I mean, go figure that the library boards would be like the epicenters of controversy in the culture wars. But that's where we are, apparently. And Fairhope's a beautiful town. I mean, the Eastern Shore is great. Fairhope is gorgeous. I've thought several times I wouldn't mind living there. But man, they are not just the canary in the coal mine potentially, but they're also a bit on the blue side for what I would say Alabama's used to. Jeff, what are you thinking? Your story.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Fairhope.
You live in Fairhope? I did not.
It's not a blue city. It's not blue at all. It went 3-1 for Trump. The problem is you have a very vocal minority that shows up in these settings, and they make themselves seem like they're the majority. That's number one. I went to that meeting last night 4 hours before I drove to Montgomery to be at the State House today. Wow. I got out of there at 10 o'clock. They got to Montgomery about 1 o'clock. So let me say this about that whole situation. This is just festering. And every city council meeting, the same people, the pros and the cons, show up. And this crowd here, the city council there, won't go one way or another. They're scared of their own shadow. This controversy is going to fester. Fairhope is the only public library in the state of Alabama to lose its state funding because it won't follow the APLS guidelines. I think that's a problem. I mean, it's administrative law. It's not necessarily civil or criminal, but they just don't refuse to take the bull by the horns here and take control of what's kind of a rogue library, self-perpetuating, by the way, rogue library board.
Well, I tell you what, and I say it on my show all the time, you want to change your community? Just run for a local office. It's amazing what you can see happen just by being a member of the library board or being a member of the city council or being a member of the county commission. I mean, you can get stuff done and you can actually make some change. Your own question, Dale. Anything else on that?
I would like to say to what Jeff said, one, get some sleep. Good Lord, you sound like you're dying. Number two, would this headline that you wrote on this story at 1819 News, would this be allowed to be in the kids section?
I saw that headline. I thought, wow.
But I didn't want to say it on the radio.
That's what I told Erica, but somebody said it at a public open meeting on the record.
So that makes it okay.
Oh, man, I'm going to go to the next public meeting and say a lot of very interesting things, and I hope
I feel certain that's true. I'll be there with a camera.
In your front yard.
All right, Jeff, next question. What do you got?
Last night, I was at the Fairhope City Council meeting. The Alabama State Senate, the Republicans at least, had to learn a hard lesson. Look, they had these guys, these Democrats, backed in a corner. They had a gun to their head. They told them, this is the way you want to play. We're going to use the rules and the tools, as Roger Smitherman says, to advance our agenda. And that's what they did. They said, we're going to cloture you. Well, I got the cloture calendar going here, and they said, okay, let's cut a deal. They cut a deal, this Birmingham Waterworks thing that's been an issue forever, Senator. And they said, okay, well, we're going to have a get-along truce, and we'll finish out the session. Roger Smitherman really proved that you can't trust these guys.
Yeah.
Made them read the entire general fund budget yesterday.
Yeah.
Killed four really good bills, I think. This is a lesson they had to learn the hard way. Does it stick?
I don't know, but it needs to, because I've seen this happen time and time again. It used to aggravate the crap out of me. I'll never forget when we had Senator Mark Cahey, a Democrat, who got mad because redistricting was drawing his lines differently, and he literally had the entire redistricting bill read at length, which is they have to use a computer to do it because it's so long. It took a day and a half. I think they finally shut it off at some point. But it's absolutely asinine that Republicans would continue to let themselves be duped into this, like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown and losing good legislation. And I mean, do this if you're gonna be nice, do it earlier in the session, but don't waste your final hours, because right now they're in the 11th hour and there's good stuff on the table. And it's about to be lost because you thought once again that Roger Smithman really wouldn't hose you, and he does every single time. Him and Bobby Singleton will get up there and filibuster for no other reason than just the fact that they can. And they love it. It's what they live for. Dale?
So did they kill their bills, or did they quote-unquote kill their bills? And what I mean by that is this maybe something Republicans didn't actually want these bills to pass? Is that a possibility, Jeff?
No, I don't think that was the case at all. I don't think that's the case at all. I think some of these were kind of benign, actually, to venture. Now, there's a couple of controversial bills on there. However, it looked like if they got the budgets done, then they would have been able to get these bills out. These bills are done for the rest of the session.
Well, at some point, too, I suggested this when I was in, at some point they've got to look at whether or not having the bills read at length should still be a requirement if it's invoked, because all that does is date back to the days when they didn't have copy machines, and someone who hadn't had a chance to read the bill at length could ask for it to be read at length before they vote. Well, everybody has a copy machine now. Everybody gets a copy of it digitally sent to their emails. That rule is archaic, and all it does is give the Democrats a chance to slow down the process. It's useless, and it's time to go ahead and change that and just remove that tool.
Also, some of the legislators couldn't read.
That's probably true, too.
No, I'm making that up. I just made that up. I don't know.
I'm going to bet there's some truth in it. All right. I don't know that we have much time left, but I will just say this. So the University of Alabama, is it the center of the political universe? Because tomorrow, Beto O'Rourke is protesting in Tuscaloosa. Trump's going to be there for a commencement speech. And Nick Saban is apparently going to join President Trump. So real quickly, center of the universe for politics, Dale?
Oh, Beto O'Rourke is going to be there? Of course it's the center of the universe. Nick Saban and Donald Trump are going to be together. Man, this is going to be a real test of some liberals in this state to see how hard they're willing to push against Nick Saban now and say how disappointed they are about him. You saw what they did to Saquon Barkley all over ESPN.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The other day. Will they do that to Nick Saban? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Jeff, 10 seconds. What do you think?
Hey, Doug Jones' ill-fitting suit will be there, too.
All right, get it all in.
All right, guys, appreciate you both. Graham Council, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.